This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The day of Arafah is the greatest day in the whole year. In many aspects. In fact, if you look at the month of Ramadan, I've said it in the past, the nights are of greatest value, especially the last 10 nights of Ramadan. You have Laylatul Qadr and so on. When it comes to the days are these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, with the day of Arafah being the peak, and the day following it being a day of rejoicing, a day of celebration, food and drink, such that it is haram and prohibited to fast on the day of Eid. Why would Allah give us a day of rejoicing? Only because it is preceded by days of great value within which His slaves have worshipped Him in the greatest way. Look at Ramadan. You worship Allah for 1 month in amazing ways, fasting, taraweeh, charity, so much more. At the end of that, Allah says, you deserve to celebrate. In fact, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that the one who is fasting has two celebrations, not just one. Two rejoicings, not just one. One is when he opens his fast, meaning at the end of the month, there is a day of Eid. And one is when he meets his Lord, he will be even happier. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him the reward of the great acts of worship. And there is an explanation that also states that every evening when you are opening your fast, it is a time of rejoicing. Not only because you are putting your favorite food in your mouth, but because Allah gives you a spirituality and a connection that was not there for the one who did not fast. Similarly, these 10 days that we are in right now are powerful. We are supposed to have fasted or tried to fast. It's not compulsory. It is nafil. It is actually voluntary. Some might say sunnah. Yes, indeed, it is a teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. You fast not necessarily all the days, some of the days. Some can fast all of the 9 days. But the day of Arafah is something that is amazing. It's so powerful. Again, the fasting of the day of Arafah is not compulsory, but the reward of it, do you know what the minimum states? Say, for example, this is the day of Arafah, we are fasting. The sins of the year before that day, forgiven. The sins of the year after that day, forgiven. You fast the following year, you're getting double forgiveness for that particular year. You follow what we're saying? May Allah Almighty grant us a good reward. So, when is the day of Arafah? Because there is a big question about the sighting of the moon and whether we should be with the Hujjaj in Mecca or in Arafah, or whether we should do it on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, wherever we are. I can tell you, it all boils down to the difference of opinion in jurisprudence. And before I go into it, let me tell you, learn to respect opinions, especially when they are within legitimate schools of thought and jurisprudence backed by evidence. So when it comes to the moon, there are two opinions. One is either we should all be on a global sighting or we should be on a regional sighting. In order to achieve a global sighting, we would need the cooperation of the whole world. The reason is, if someone sees it before us, and we are prepared to accept it from them, what if we see it before them? Are they prepared to accept it from us? Simple logic. For example, if Saudi Arabia sees the moon and everyone else says, okay, we agree with it. What if a year comes and they have come when we have seen the moon before Saudi Arabia? Are they prepared to follow what we have cited? If the answer is yes, then perhaps we can look into something known as a global sighting where everyone can follow the first person who sights the moon. But if there's no cooperation, and for your information, there is no cooperation. In that particular instance, what can we do? If we are to follow them and we are to have the day of Arafah, when the Hujjaj are in Arafah, What if we have seen the moon before them one of the years, and for us it's the day of Eid and the Hujjaj in Arafah? Now what do? You are stuck. Why are you stuck? Because you didn't understand jurisprudence. So for example, if our Eid is tomorrow, because had we sighted the moon prior to Saudi Arabia, and our Eid was tomorrow, yet it's Arafah for the people of Arafah. What do? You're stuck between, should I fast? Yet I saw the moon with my own eyes, or should I not fast? So because of that long discrepancy, it boils down to something interesting, and that is, please respect the opinions of the scholars and those who are legitimate in terms of schools of thought and in terms of backed by evidence. Don't worry, don't get too emotional about it. Someone does it now, someone does it the other time, it's okay. So there are some scholars who say you should fast when the Hujjaj are in Arafah. Okay, they will get stuck the day we see the moon before the people of Saudi Arabia. They will be stuck. Then they will have to come back to this opinion. But no problem, let it be. Don't fight about it. Because as it is, for now, we have, for example, the day of Arafah, where the Hujjaj are going to be in Arafah, that is tomorrow. May Allah make it easy for them. Today they are in Mina, the Hujjaj, and I know of quite a few. They've also sent me messages, and I'm sure many of us, we have a large contingent that went from our country here as well. Large meaning basic for the world, but large for us, right? MashaAllah. When you talk of Indonesia sending 200,000 and Zimbabwe has 150, I mean, you know, it makes a big difference as to what large means. But nonetheless, we make dua for them and we ask Allah to bless them, to make it easy for them. It's very hot. It's really, really boiling at the moment, but may Allah calm them and cool them and grant them good health, and may they make the correct du'as. The ummah is in need of crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are in Mina today, they will be in Arafah tomorrow. We can fast today, tomorrow, and the next day is a Sunday. On that Sunday is our 9th of Dhul Hijjah in this region, because the entire region did not see the moon at all. The entire region did not see the moon. Now from amongst us, there are some who might say, no. We will celebrate Eid when it is done in Mecca. No problem, you can follow that opinion. We are not going to fight with you. We love you. You are our brothers. MashaAllah, enjoy the Eid. Eid Mubarak to you. And please have a blessed time. But don't fight with us. Don't fight with us. Why? We are following legitimate opinions of schools of thought that have registered these opinions backed with evidence going back to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like I said, we don't mind a global sighting on condition that there is a good consensus and understanding. If you don't have an understanding, it won't work. Because when I see it before you, we are stuck. Everybody's stuck, right? May Allah Almighty grant us ease. And there is nothing in jurisprudence that forces you to accept the moon that is cited by another place. Nothing in jurisprudence forces you. If there was an evidence in Quran or Sunnah to say you are compelled, we wouldn't be having this discussion today. But there is nothing concrete to say you have to do it this way or that. There are two major opinions, one this way, one that way, alhamdulillah. And those of us who will be having Eid on the Monday, may Allah make it easy for us. The 9th of Dhul Hijjah would be the Sunday, that would be the fast. So now I've discussed with you the difference of opinion regarding when exactly you should fast. Is it when the Hujjaj are in Arafah? Some people are following that opinion. We love you. We love you even more actually. And some people are following the other opinion to say, you know what, 9th of Dhul Hijjah, wherever you are, that's the opinion we follow. And that is what the bulk and the majority of the world actually follow in terms of the schools of thought. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. But that fast is very important. And not only the fast, like I said, it's not a compulsory fast. You seek forgiveness. You ask Allah your dua. You increase the dhikr of Allah. No matter where you are, from the morning of the day of Arafah, after every farad prayer, you repeat the takbir. What is the takbir? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. You are declaring the greatness of Allah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Allah is the greatest and all praise belongs to Allah. Why do you have to say these beautiful words of praise of Allah? Because you have engaged in acts of worship through these 10 days. Ramadan was 30 days. On that day of Eid, we also said the takbir, but in a slightly lower tone. This one, We are saying it in a loud tone. Now look at it. Laylatul Qadr is a night of decree, the most powerful night in the whole year. The day of Arafah is the most powerful day in the whole year. The difference is, Laylatul Qadr, we don't know when it is. We have a rough idea. But Arafah, we know when it is. Why? Because you saw the moon, right? May Allah Almighty accept it from us. So take the day seriously. Like I've said before, number one, don't sin. Imagine Allah gives you a day to seek forgiveness. That's the same day you're sinning on. It's not befitting a believer. Secondly, your duties unto Allah, your prayer and so on, take it more seriously. Take your time when you pray. It could be your last prayer. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, tells us a powerful phrase which is so deep in meaning. He says, how should you pray? Meaning the question that is posed by us is, how should you pray? How should my prayer be? Someone can say, pray like this, pray like that, pray this way, that way, and give you a big explanation. He says, salli salata muwadda'in. Pray as though it's your farewell prayer. Pray as though it's the last prayer you will ever be able to make. That's how you should pray. If you take that seriously, wallahi, you will calm down. You will take it easy. I have a habit. We all have a habit. We are working on that habit. It's a negative habit. And sometimes we don't realize. We say that. I say it sometimes. What is it? I say, brother, let me quickly do my prayer and I'll be with you in 5 minutes. That term quickly in the middle is an insult to prayer. So we try to take that word out, right? I know what you mean, you know what I mean. When I say, give me 2 minutes, I'm going to be with you. Let me quickly. But that word quickly is not befitting Allah's majesty. Say, I'm going to pray, brother. When I'm done, I'll see you. And take your time. Relax. Because I tell you what, if you rushed that prayer, may Allah forgive you and I. We are in a rush at the airport. We are in a rush when we are traveling. We are in a rush even when there's nothing happening. May Allah forgive us. We want to eat and eating is normal. 1 o'clock, the food is out or it's about to come up. Let me quickly, that word quickly. Inshallah, we deal with it. Even if we take that alone home today, we are winners. And I still have sometimes subconsciously, you still say it, right? It happens. We are human. But all I'm saying is try and work that word out of that particular sentence, inshallah. Just say, look, let me pray and I'll be back with you. So, why we say this is when the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, salli salata muwadda'in, pray as you are the person who is saying farewell to the prayer. In other words, it's your last prayer. That means you need to take your time. Subhana rabbiyal a'la. It's registered next to your name. You die after that, wallahi, inshallah, you're a successful person. Successful. I took my time between me and my Lord. Another thing, read Quran. Do your adhkar. The day of Arafah is a powerful day. And every time Allah gives you these mega days and nights and seasons, the whole idea is to improve you in your relationship with Him holistically. La'allakum tattaqun. He always says that. I've prescribed this for you as a gift so you can become a better person, closer to us in the correct way. That's taqwa. Your relationship with Allah, developing it. So when Allah gives you Ramadan, you come out of it, you better in your prayer, you better in your connection with Quran, you now read the translation every day, you now spend time with dhikr, adhkar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Do you know, I asked questions to a few of the brothers, and besides one, all of them said, we are guilty. What was the question? Do you make adhkar every day? And they just smile at you and say, well, it depends. The astaghfirullah after prayer, you know, we say it thrice and so on. But as for dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, no, we don't. Now, why am I saying this? Because it's interesting to note, I'm a believer. I believe in my 5 daily prayers. I should read my Quran and try to understand it. I should actually also go beyond that and do what? I should praise Allah, remember Him. Has He not given you everything that you have? Allah. That is Allah Rabbul Izzah. So this is why we say, my beloved brothers and sisters, this day of Arafah is coming. Seek the forgiveness of Allah and forgive people. Forgive people. As for the Hujjaj in Arafah, Allah Almighty looks at them and He knows what's going on, but He asks His angels, and He literally is so happy regarding what they're doing that He is boasting to the angels according to His majesty. He's telling His angels, you see my worshippers here, what are they asking for? And He knows better than them what they're asking for. And so the angels are saying, they're all crying to you, seeking forgiveness and asking their needs. He says, Ushhidukum ya malaikati anni ghafartu lahum. I want you to bear witness, O my angels, that I have forgiven them. All of them have come from all over the world. They have converged to Arafah and they are coming here. What are they doing? They are dressed in a very humble way. No one is arrogant and proud. You don't know king from, you know, a slave. You know nobody. As in terms of the difference between the people, nothing. They are all standing together doing what? Crying, weeping. Imagine your Lord and mine has kept life such that no matter who you are, you have needs. No matter who you are, you have needs to the degree that nobody can solve it for you besides the Lord of the worlds. Allahu Akbar. Cry to Allah. Ask Him. And Allah is happy. He hears you. He knows it. You shed a tear. You feel the pain. Allah knows it before it even happened. He knows it genuinely. What else? Don't lose hope. Keep on asking. Because Allah loves repetition. And Allah loves it when He keeps you in a certain condition by His power and His mercy. Allah loves it when He does not give you what you want if that is going to make you a person closer to Him. He loves keeping you in that condition. My worshipper, you have 5 years to live. For the next 5 years, I want you to go through so much of sabr that sabr alone for 5 years, whatever you did for the last 60 years, we're going to wipe it out because of 5 years. Ayyub alayhi salam, when he was unwell, his wife tells him, don't you cry to Allah to ask Him to heal you. He said, oh my wife, so many years I enjoyed, I feel ashamed. Now that I'm sick, I must call out to Allah, meaning to cure me, although there was nothing wrong. But what he meant is, not that he didn't want to call out to Allah, but he felt that Allah's given me so much. Let me be thankful. One of the ways of calling out to Allah is to thank Him for what you have. Say you have a problem today and you want Allah to solve the problem. One of the ways is, Allah knows your problem, right? Is to go back and look at what Allah gave you and thank Him for it. Oh Allah, I thank you for this, this, this. And when you start thanking Allah for what He gave you, you'll realize that He gave you a million things and He took away two things. Wallahi. And that's the way Allah says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Announcement, Allah says, when you are thankful, I'll give you increase. Increase. You want more? Well, go back and look at what I've given you and say, Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, I thank you for what you gave me. Laka alhamd, laka shukr. Oh Allah, I'm giving a charity. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. That's why they say, the hadith says, the best charity that you can ever give is the one that you are giving when you yourself are poor. You yourself are worried about what's going to happen. You yourself don't know where the next penny is going to come from. But you have hope in Allah. You have hope, تَخْشَى الْفَقْرَ. That means you are worried about poverty, but at the same time, you are hopeful in that Allah will provide, Allah will give you, man. So that is why Allah says, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ, in the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith. Charity has never decreased anybody's wealth. You give, Allah will give you. Because at that moment of hardship of yours, you end up looking at someone who has greater hardship. What does it do for you? It makes life easy for me, man. I'm chilled. I'm okay, man. We've eaten once every 2 days. You know, there are people who haven't eaten in the last week. And seriously, so our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, we talk about them. We mention them every week and every time we can. Because wallahi, they are struggling right now. It feels so, so unimportant to ask Allah for my issues when they have real issues. We are sitting here, we are so happy, complaining about how cold it is, but we have jackets and everything for them. Right now, it's boiling hot. What do they have? They don't even have cover above their heads in most cases. People are dying, hunger, thirst, bombardment, and so much more of aggression and oppression like mankind has never, ever seen in its existence from the beginning of Adam to this day. I am telling you, they haven't seen this type of disaster. And why do I say this? Because of the sophistication of weaponry that there is. It wasn't there before. Because of how the people are using the latest technology to murder rather than to grow and to bolster people and to help them. Imagine life. You and I are human beings. We look at anyone black and white and green and yellow, and we are taught that these people are humans. Look after life. Life is sacred. But do you know there are people who look at everybody else and think to themselves, we can take them out. They play too many computer games. Wallahi, we can take them out. And they look at anyone, take these guys out, those guys out. Wallahi, this is life. Are you okay? You have to die anyway. You might have killed someone today. A few years later, even if nobody kills you, you're gonna die. What about that day? Who are you going to face? You don't get trigger happy. May Allah Almighty strengthen us and guide humanity at large. We're living on earth. We're here for a few years. So this is why I say, when we think about what they are going through, wallahi, what you and I are going through, we are not going through anything. There's no challenge. Your challenge is actually so small, and mine is minute. It's almost non-existent compared to those who have real problems. May Allah Almighty forgive us. May Allah strengthen the Ummah. May Allah unite the Ummah. Today I mentioned the difference of opinion. And as I close, I want to just quickly recap to say, when there is difference of opinion in the Ummah regarding certain matters that there have been difference of opinion on for years and centuries, and there is legitimate difference in terms of there is evidence to prove either way, it might not be the strongest of hadith according to you, and it might not be the most valid of this of the opinions according to you, but it's okay. Let them follow the opinions. Is there no evidence to back it up? Are there no proper legitimate schools of thought that have said this? Then let it be. Respect the people. You enter the masjid on a Friday. Some schools of thought say there's no sunnah, no nafil. You come in and you listen to the khutbah, and the first prayer that you're going to pray is the Jumu'ah with the imam. It's a legitimate schools of thought. Some say you come in, you can only do tahiyyatul masjid and nothing else. And others say, no, you come in and you read some sunnah and so on. They are okay. That's okay. Don't fight each other for it. Look at someone. This guy, is he a proper Muslim? He just came in and he sat down. It's okay. It doesn't take you to that level. You want to discuss it, you may. You learn about it. We are never going to bring the Ummah together if we fight over nitty-gritty, small matters, and we make it the most important factor of split between you and I. No, my brothers, no, my sisters, we love each other for the sake of Allah. Keep repeating that and keep reminding each other. We love each other for the sake of Allah. I might differ with you on a few things. I love you even more because Allah's tested you with me and me with you. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.